In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In his many travels to establish the Catholic Church, there are at least two men that St. Paul ordains as bishop, Timothy and Titus. He wrote letters to them that we read today in the Bible, and we just heard from his letter to St. Timothy. Two themes, at least, emerge from this passage that we just heard, themes that are as important for us today as they were for our fellow brothers and sisters in the first century. The first theme is the church's relationship to the world around her. Now, that can be a very big thing, but we're going to kind of focus on a little part of that. The civilized world in which Christianity was taking root believed in many gods. Different cultures from all around the Mediterranean Sea had been forcibly united under the Roman Empire. The empire was fabulously wealthy, at least for some, and it opened the door to a pleasure-loving lifestyle among its rich and powerful. But to maintain this lavish lifestyle, it also required the spread of slave labor and the injustice and misery that goes along with that. But these people also brought with them their many religions, with their many gods native to their particular culture. So in the midst of this plurality of gods, Christianity was only a tiny island. St. Paul tells Timothy to first pray for all the peoples around them, especially for the kings and those that are in authority. So the emperor, the governors, and other civil leaders, many of whom had already begun or would soon begin persecuting the Christians. We still do this today, as a matter of fact. After we pray for the church and the intercessions, the next one is a prayer for the world, in particular leaders and governments. And he asked us to do this even if we don't like their policies in particular, their views. Leaders need prayers. Our prayer can change things. Our prayer can transform hearts. It can soften hearts. Our anger only serves to harden us and makes us less open to God. So in St. Paul's mind, the church is not only a boat that is on a mission journey into heaven and not really worried about anything else around it at all. The church is also the chosen instrument of God for the spread of a stable and prosperous society, even here and now, a bit. A society in which everyone could live, as he says, a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. That which comes from being in Christ. And the primary way for the church to do this is through prayer. Today, once again, the church is an island in a sea of many beliefs, and of none, no belief. Our island is a bit bigger now, but the surrounding culture is still as hostile to Christian values as it was then. We are always swimming against the stream. So today it is still our responsibility as ambassadors for Christ, which is what you and I are, his representatives. It is our responsibility to pray for peace, for justice, and to pray for our leaders. God wants our culture to be healthy and our society to be stable. He chooses us to pray as his channels for grace. If we don't like the way things are going, then all the more we need to be praying. After all, we do pray in the Our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The idea that the kingdom, even now, can break in and shine light, even now, You and I are the instruments to make that happen. The second theme, it comes from Paul's words today. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now we realize that Jesus Christ is not merely one more religious leader or brilliant philosopher among a sea of many others. He is, in fact, the unique savior of the fallen human race. Just as the whole human race fell in Adam's sin, so the whole human race is restored by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The same sacrifice that brings us here. Every Mass, we are at Calvary, at that sacrifice where he gives his body, pours out his blood. And it's for everyone. Everyone who is saved through him, his sacrifice. Now, briefly, some of our non-Catholic friends say that this sentence proves that our Catholic practice of praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints is wrong, that it's false and anti-biblical. If Christ is the one mediator, they say, then we should just pray directly to him and involve no one else. We shouldn't go through Mary or the saints, they would say. But this is a wrong interpretation. The Church of Jesus Christ was not wrong for 1,500 years before the Protestant Reformation, and she is not wrong today about this. If theirs was a true interpretation, then even they would be unable to ask their friends to pray for them. They would have to always just go directly to Christ himself. No one would be able to say, "Hey, I'm going through a difficult time. Would you mind praying for me? Or my child needs surgery. Will you say a prayer for her?" They don't say, "Well, why are you talking to me? You need to be going directly to Jesus. Leave me out of it." They don't say that. All Christians I know ask for each other's prayers constantly. And we're not skipping Jesus, trying to get around him somehow by doing that. When St. Paul uses the term mediator, he means in terms of ultimate, final mediation. He is saying, which is true, Jesus alone rebuilt the bridge between God and the human family, the bridge that original sin had smashed. But now the bridge has been rebuilt, and God the Father is overjoyed whenever he sees his children helping each other get across the bridge. The bridge is still Jesus, even if my friend helps me to find the bridge and to walk across it. And that's exactly what happens when we also pray to Mary, the saints. We're not asking them to build the bridge. The bridge is built. We're asking them to help us find it and our loved ones to find it and to use it well. It all goes through Jesus Christ, the bridge builder. So some object, well, they're dead. They can't do anything. They're only dead if Jesus is dead. And Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. He is the head. The church is the body. St. Paul says that those who die in Christ are alive in him. So the saints aren't dead. They're alive. They're alive in Jesus Christ. They're invisible, yes, but they are our family. And guess what? They never need sleep, and they'll never forget what you ask them to pray for. They want to help us. So today, as Christ comes once again to nourish our souls in Holy Communion with his body and blood, remember to thank him for this priceless gift of our Catholic faith and pray. Pray. Pray for the salvation of the entire world, as St. Paul encourages us to do, and let each of us renew our determination to follow Christ faithfully and to become holy, become a saint, starting now, and then tomorrow, and then this week, and then this month, and on, praying for each other, praying for the world, asking for the prayers and the help of our brothers and sisters, the saints, to get across the one bridge of salvation, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.